Margie and I usually have a garden every year, and it's there's a therapeutic, cathartic feeling sometimes when you're out. I think Pike Nurseries used to have a commercial, play in the dirt again, you know, that kind of thing. When you're down in the dirt and you're grounded and you're planting and you're seeing this fruit and vegetables and all this stuff take place. To be honest with you, this year, we could blame it on the rain. We could blame it on the 90-100 degree weather it seems like we've been having lately. Or we could just blame it on Margie and I have just been pulled in 100 different directions. But whatever the reason, we haven't been tending the garden as much as we needed to. For example, our big tomatoes, we had to just pull all those plants up because it got to the point we couldn't have enough. We couldn't get rid of the bugs and stuff enough. Our cherry tomatoes are growing crazy, so we got plenty of those. The new thing that we tried this year was the Japanese eggplant. And when you stir fry those and put them in a rice bowl or something, it's just awesome. And so we did get some good harvest, but there are some things that we have to tend to and you have to nourish. One of the things that I learned, and Steve kind of shared this with his blueberry bushes, in order for the blueberry bushes to really take off, you have to prune. And pruning means you go to a healthy branch, a healthy vine, a healthy, you know, hey, there's blueberries on here. Whack it off, because you're going to produce even bigger and better blueberries down the road, right? And so it's like sometimes you're looking at it and you're cutting off something that's good and something that's producing, and you're thinking like, what in the world am I doing? We do that with our roses. You have to cut your roses back. You have to cut the bushes back. You have to do all these things. And cutting back sometimes feels like damage. Ah, what am I going to do? But actually, it's by design. And Jesus says in the scripture that we're getting ready to read that that's what his Father does with every disciple. He doesn't just plant us. He doesn't just nourish us. He will prune us. Spiritual growth isn't about what God adds to our life. Sometimes it's about what God removes from our life. And let's be honest, when we go through a pruning season in our lives, pruning hurts. We didn't see it coming. What's going on, Lord? It feels like loss. It feels like failure. It often comes when we least expect it. And yet, it's the clearest sign that God is doing some kind of work in each of us. I mean, we want to grow, right? We want to be more fruitful. But most of us don't want to be cut. And yet Jesus says, my Father cuts even the fruitful branches so that they can bear more. Every believer God uses powerfully, every believer that God uses, he is going to prune. The scripture that I'm looking at is in John chapter 15, and I'll be in verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, that's Jesus, and my Father is the vine dresser, and that's God the Father. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So you see this picture already. If you are like a dead branch and there's nothing on you, you're cut and gone, thrown into the fire, you're gone. But even the good, says there, even the ones that bear fruit, he prunes so it will bear more fruit. Already, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. In other words, Jesus is saying, be planted in me. Stay connected to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus isn't just using this idea of a vine dresser and being a vine and being a branch. He's not just kind of throwing this out there. Jesus is using this because grapevines were very valuable back in the day. And the vine dresser, in this case God, would cut back these living branches so that they would grow even better. Not just the dead ones. He would cut back some of the live ones so that more energy of the vine could flow into the fruit and not into the leaves. I've planted this muscadine vine. And so the muscadine vine, it's like every day I have to go out and cut off more of the little suckers. It's what they call them, little shoots that come up there. Because it is taking, it's like, oh, these are healthy looking leaves, but the leaves are no good. You want the fruit. And so you have to prune back things that look good, but are not healthy for the plant. So the first thing I want us to see in this passage of John is God doesn't just want growth. He wants fruit. I mean, you can grow weeds. You can grow all the leaves you want. My tomato plants, I could have left them going and let the worms just have a field day with all of it. And the leaves, all the leaves looked healthy. It was the tomatoes that had like the holes and the worms and everything in it. He says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. God's not interested in this cosmetic Christianity. What does it look like? What are you doing? God isn't impressed by our religious busyness. We would call that kind of leafy spirituality. You know, our leaves are looking healthy, but where is the fruit? Jesus isn't looking for religious activity. He's looking for spiritual productivity. He's looking for fruit that glorifies him, nourishes others. And he's not just looking for some fruit. He's looking for much fruit. Fruit in our lives is the evidence of transformation that is going on. If you look at Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 5, he talks about our character and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of that. He's talking about this being shown in our lives, apparent to others. In Matthew, Jesus is saying, you will be my witnesses. That's the fruit. There will be seeds that you are planting, and it's going to come back and reap a harvest for the kingdom. John 13, he tells us, you are to go into the world, you are to love others as I have loved you. And then they will know that you're my disciples because of the love that you have for one another. So, my question is, are you bearing fruit? Are just looking spiritually busy. We kind of talked about that this morning in our Sunday school class. We were in Paul's letter in Corinthians, the love chapter, chapter 13. And so as he's writing this letter to the Corinthians, he's talking about, man, you could love. You could say these things. You could do these things. You could speak in tongues. You could have all these wonderful gifts. But if you don't have love, you have nothing. And so, are we just going through the motions? Are we doing things? Are we serving because it's out of duty? Are we doing our devotions each morning out of a sense of duty so we can check off a list? Or are we doing it because we want fruit in our lives? And the whole idea of this, and I don't know why it never struck me like this before, but the idea, why do we grow those plants in the first place? We grow them for the fruit, right? But the fruit is never the end. The fruit is never just for the branch. We don't just say, what a beautiful tomato. What a beautiful rose. What a beautiful cucumber. What a beautiful... What do we do with it? It's for people. The fruit is for people. It's for the world. And so the fruit that we bear is not to make us look good. It is for the world. We're on the vine, we're on the branch, we're connected to Jesus, and he's pruning us and he's growing us so that we could be a light or fruit for this world. Second thing, even fruitful people get pruned. We don't like that. It says every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. That means even when we're doing well, God still may be cutting something away. He may remove a relationship that you depended on. He may strip away some comfort or success or recognition. Now, Sandra and I, we're having a discussion. What is the difference between pruning? Because in pruning, you're taking something healthy, something that's good, and getting rid of it, as opposed to discipline, where God is removing things that we shouldn't be doing in our lives. Well, sometimes the comfort we feel like, hey, man, church is going well, things are going, all the programs are lining up, things are going well, God may all of a sudden put a wrench in there and things aren't going well because you've been relying on yourself and not necessarily relying on God. And so even though you've been doing a good thing, he wants a great thing. He may confront a sin that's hiding in your life behind the surface, pride, envy, whatever it is. There may be just a tinge of that, and you don't even realize it, and God is removing that. He's not punishing you. He's preparing you. He cuts what is in the way of more fruit being born. Pruning is proof that God is working, that he's not distant, that he is involved in our lives every single day. And this is where most Christians kind of get disoriented. Hey, God, I'm doing well. I'm serving. Hey, I'm praying. Why are you cutting these things out? Why isn't it working? You know, that comfort zone you're in, it's getting in your way. That ego that you have, it's stealing nutrients from humility. Oh, that habit that you've got, it's blocking what God wants to do next. For example, in the morning, the first thing that I do is I turn on that word for you today. Do that devotion. And as soon as I'm done with that devotion, I've got the other one, the Bible recap for a year. And so, man, when I first start, you know, in January 1st, or whenever you start your devotions, and you start, man, you're starting with the purest of intentions. God, I want to get to know you better. Now, it's almost like, okay, God, I did my devotion this morning. I did the other devotion this morning. God, I'm doing my Bible study. Why am I in this season of pruning? It's because you're just going through the motions, Paul. Those are all good things, but you're not doing it with the right heart. And so I'm going to strip away some things to get you to refocus and recenter, and you're going to bear even more fruit from that. The writer of Hebrews says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. God removes sometimes what we think we need to give us what we actually need. And we sometimes don't see that till we're on the other side and we look back and say, ah, that's what God was doing in me. The third thing, we are to abide. Abide. Don't just try harder. We're not Avis. We try harder. No, it's not about trying harder. It's not about what you do. Abide in me. It's the nutrients that we are getting from him. Pruning teaches us that fruit doesn't come from effort. The best apple in the world can't sit there on the vine and say, you know what, I'm going to be the best apple. I don't need you, branch. I don't need you, vine. I'm just going to be the best apple I can be. It comes from being connected. Jesus says, apart from me, you can what? You can do nothing. You can preach, you can post, you can serve, you can sing, but without Jesus, there's no spiritual power or lasting impact. Paul says you can talk in the tongues of angels, you can speak, you can prophesy, you can do all of these things, but if you don't have love, no one's listening anyway. Abiding means that we stay connected, stay rooted, stay trusting, even when it hurts. Oftentimes, especially in a church, as soon as we start to feel our feelings are hurt, either someone says something, someone does something, we run. I'll find another church. That church is a mean church. I don't like that church. Pastor's always stepping on my toes. Who does he think he is, you know? And not just that. Sometimes it's like, God, I don't like the music. God, I don't like this. God, I don't like that. So I'm just going to go find something else. Or sometimes there's something going on in your life and you don't want to face anybody. And you say, I'm just going to retreat. I'm going to go home. I'm going to isolate myself because I don't want to be around anybody. Especially those smiling Christians all the time that seem like they're always in a good mood. It means that we have to choose intimacy over our independence. It means trusting the vine, even when we don't understand the pruning that we're going on. When God starts cutting, the temptation for us is always going to be to pull back. I must be doing something wrong, God. Tell me, what am I doing wrong? But instead of pulling back, we need to lean in and say, God, use me. Do your work. Abiding in Christ doesn't necessarily make the pain go away, but what it does, it keeps the life flow going. Abiding is how fruit comes in the next season when everything seems barren now. You know, when you look at your plant and the plant looks like it's dead, it looks like it's dying, but it's just dormant. It's still working. It's still abiding into the root. It's still connected so that in the next season it will bear even more fruit. So ask yourself, do I abide in Jesus or am I trying to impress him? You know, while he's out there somewhere so far away from me, you know, he's not here with me. He's out there somewhere. I'm just trying to impress you, Jesus. I'm doing all of this for you. Are we doing that or are we really abiding in Christ? The fourth thing, pruning leads to power. Pruning leads to power. The scripture says, so that it may bear more fruit. Pruning is not punishment. You're not being punished. God is not punishing you. He is preparing you. Every cutting season is producing something you can't see yet. Think of Joseph in the prison. I mean, here's Joseph. Hey, look at my coat, guys. So the brothers beat him up and throw him in a pit. Then they say, get him out of the pit. Let's sell him to slavery. Sell him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt. Ends up working for Potiphar. He's helping Potiphar. Potiphar's wife puts a move on him. Joseph doesn't like it. So she's embarrassed. She tells Potiphar, this servant of yours just tried to have his way with me. So he gets thrown in prison. So here's this guy that's getting these dreams from God, how God's going to be using him. And he's thinking, this is how you're going to use me? Throw me in a pit? You put me in this house where I think things are going well. Everything's going nice. I'm serving. He likes me. I like him. Now all of a sudden I'm accused wrongly and I'm in prison. I'm in prison and these two guys come up. I interpret their dreams for them. One gets saved. The other gets killed. Remember me, guys. And they don't until a long way down the road. That whole time is a preparation, a pruning season for Joseph. How many times if that would have been you or me, we would have just said, you know, God, I don't know what you're doing. Here I am in prison. Here I am doing this. Here I am doing that. God, where are you? Until God's season for Joseph to shine and his fruit. Moses in the wilderness for 40 years after he leaves Egypt. He's in the wilderness and he's there and he's tending sheep and he's gets married and he's hanging out and he's doing these things until he sees the burning bush. And God used that time that Moses was in the wilderness to prepare him to go now in front of Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying where sweat of blood is coming down him and he's saying, take this cup away from me, but not my will, that yours. This is a pruning season. And because God is pruning Jesus in that moment, so much fruit is about to be born. Trust the process that you're going through because fruit takes time. Pruning takes trust. Fifth thing, our fruitfulness is to glorify God, not to glorify us. It says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The whole purpose of us shining a light into this world, into this community, and to make a difference is to shine the light for Christ. For God. It's not about our glory. How many people we can bring. How many times I could do this? How many times I can do that? Look at my name up in lights. No, it is about God. It's about Christ. God prunes us because he wants to display his glory through our lives. And not just a little fruit. There are so many Christians living today that are just barely surviving. Yeah, I got a little bit of fruit. I got a little bit of fruit. He doesn't want just a little bit of fruit. He wants abundant fruit. And not fruit that lifts up our name, but fruit that proves that you belong to him. True discipleship is always about first being rooted and then being pruned and then to bearing fruit. That's the process. And we need to trust the process. But in order to trust the process, number six, we have to trust the vine dresser. You have to trust God. Isaiah writes this, "When the harvest time comes and the blossom has become a ripening grape, he cuts off the shoots with pruning knives." Do we trust the work that God is doing in our lives? What is God cutting back in you right now? Maybe it's a dream you had. Maybe it's a vision you had. Maybe it's a relationship in your life. Maybe it's your sense of control. God, I got this. I got it. Sometimes what feels like loss could be love. What feels like something being reduced could mean that it's just being refined. God cuts out in our lives the things that compete with Christ, and sometimes those are good things. Like, I want to do a Bible study. I want to do this. I want to do this. And you get so spiritually busy that we lose what we're doing it for. He prunes what no longer produces. He trims what was once fruitful to prepare us for what will be fruitful. Even better fruit, even bigger fruit. So, are you in a pruning season? It seems like every other day I'm in a pruning season. Things are going well, and then, oh, God, what's going on? And then there, God, you're silent. What's going on? Are you doing everything right, but then something seems stripped down? Something seems different. May not be a sign of failure. It may be the loving shears of our vine dresser as he is doing work in our lives. See, God never prunes what he doesn't plan to grow. Jesus was cut off. He was pierced, rejected, crushed, so that we would be grafted into this vine. And now as we grow in him, the Father continues that work, trimming and shaping and lovingly cutting the things in our lives that maybe are getting in the way, so that we can reflect the life of Jesus more fully. So don't despise those shears. Trust in them. So where do we do with that? Where do we do that? Well, I want you to think of hat, H-A-T. First thing you have to do is you have to humble yourself before God. Invite God to show you, hey, God, what is it in my life that needs pruning? What is it that you want me to prune? And the second thing, the A, abide. We have to be connected to him. We have to continue to spend time daily in his word, in prayer, and being silent before him, to staying connected. And the last thing, T, trust. You have to believe that the painful season or this pruning season that you're going through is producing lasting fruit, that there will be something different, something changed because of that. So where are you at? What do you want to see God do in your life? First thing we have to do is just turn it over to him. Will you pray? Father, I trust you. I'm learning to trust you, Father, even when it hurts. Father, according to your scriptures and according to your word, we know that you prune us with love, even though it feels painful at the time. So, Father, cut in my life what needs cutting. Shape the things that need shaping. And, Father, grow the things in me that will bring you glory. Not for my sake, but for the sake of the name of Jesus. And, Father, we pray all of this in our Savior's name. Amen.